Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. In the 3 years Music at the Intersection has taken up Grand Center and parts of Midtown St. Louis, the multi-venue festival has drawn many thousands of fans with world-class acts. Headliners like Chaka Khan, psychedelic soul duo Black Pumas, and Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue. The festival's lineup also features many more artists, those who hail from St. Louis and make music all over the country, as well as those who hold it down here in their hometown. Here to talk with us about Music at the Intersection 2024, we welcome two returning guests. Chris Henson is Executive Director at Kranzberg Art Foundation. Welcome again.
Thank you.
And Larry Morris, who is Director of Programs and Partnerships at Kranzberg Arts Foundation.
Good to be here.
So people are very excited about what is happening, and Music at the Intersection has presented a really great balance of that hometown and living legends selection of musicians. So we'll talk about the festival in depth in these coming minutes. What are some of the things you're most excited about this year, Chris?
Well, we're always excited to celebrate and elevate St. Louis. So we're just excited to bring the communities back together, put them in the heart of what Forbes magazine called America's Most Exciting Arts District, Emerging Arts District, and then celebrate what makes St. Louis so special, our art, our culture, our people, and then bring A-class artists from around the world and professionals and thought leaders to come and celebrate with us. So, mm-hmm. We couldn't be more proud.
Larry, are there any acts that people should not be sleeping on that you're really excited about?
I don't think anybody should sleep on any of the acts we put on that stage, but I mean, Sema Funk, I think that's a big one that I think people really need to really check out, mm-hmm. the Caribbean, the Afro-Caribbean connection. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a lot of people know the Black Pumas. They're really good. And I also really push people to come check out the local artists. These local artists are world class. I never, ever look at our artists like local. It's mm-hmm. always world class. So,
right.
These are the things that I'm excited about and I think people should be excited mm-hmm. about, too.
So headliners are always, the names that people are going to be drawn to first. And with living legends at the top of the bill, Music at the Intersection is going to deliver this year as it has in past years. Let's have a quick listen to the Queen of Funk, Chaka Khan, and her classic, Ain't Nobody. Chaka Khan's music spans decades and it's carried fans across generations. Like, I remember hearing her music when I was a kid, and here we are now. It's also been really great to see her back performing. In fact, she did a performance for Tiny Desk, which is sort of an NPR thing. Yes. Mm-hmm. But Chris, I mean, was it hard to keep it hush-hush that you'd booked her?
Well, you always got to kind of hold your cards back when it comes to this. So there's a lot that goes into announcing talent. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Chaka Khan, this was that moment, right? 50 years, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, we had to make sure that we could get her on a stage. I mean, we focus so hard on making sure we get our living legends into these spaces mm-hmm. while they're still with us. So, yeah, you know, Chaka was definitely one that we were excited to announce.
Mm-hmm. Did you celebrate the booking in any particular way?
I don't know that we celebrated it any more than any of the other ones, but always, you know, these things are complicated. Everybody always is interested in how this all comes together, and it's multi-layered.
Mm-hmm. So, Larry, in your time at the Kranzberg Arts Foundation, you've worked with up-and-coming artists who live and create music here in St. Louis. And this year, Master Camp, which is something we've talked about here on the show, is bringing artists who've been mentored through that program. One is Alexia Simone. Let's hear her song, Can't Be Friends, performed live for Sessions of St. Louis.
No, we can't be friends. So good, and now I know, yeah, ooh, ooh, yeah, that we can't be friends, no, because we're so good, hey, now you know, now I know, ooh, 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 cause even if we were, it doesn't matter no more, no, no. It doesn't matter to me, say it is what it is. We done crossed that bridge. Cause if we were, it doesn't matter no more to me. Doesn't matter to me, say it is what it is. No, we done crossed that bridge, no going back no more. No, I ain't going back.
That was Alexia Simone singing her original song, Can't Be Friends, for Sessions of St. Louis. She's one of many musical artists who make their art and their lives here in STL and will perform at this year's Music at the Intersection. So, Larry, your experience at Kranzberg,
right.
And as a recording artist yourself,
yes.
Now, other than offering even more great music to festival goers, what's the benefit of combining local musicians and major headlining acts in the same festival?
It's the community element. You know, you can get on stage and perform as much as you want, but it's a lot of networking and community that you have to grow as an artist. It's not only just community to get new show opportunities, but it's learning how to be a better artist and how to take what you're doing at home and travel with it, tour with it. Mm-hmm. And I think what's really cool about our festival that I know our executive director has always been thoughtful of is creating that community, right? And our artists activate these spaces, even the negative spaces at the festival. They take it and they make it their own mm-hmm. and they create that community. So I think that's the most beautiful thing about Music at the Intersection. It almost feels like a family reunion at times. It doesn't feel like a music festival. Mm-hmm. It feels like I'm seeing my friends who are musicians that all come in town to be a part of this. Even if they're not performing, they're actively there supporting other artists, mm-hmm. you know? And it's kind of how we keep up with each other. Like, where you been? What you been doing? You know, what's going on? What's happening in music? We're hearing how people are playing and seeing what they're doing with their music and the genres that they're experimenting with and where they're taking it. And we're all walking away like, you know what, maybe I can go back to the studio and fool around with that. Mm-hmm. So it's the community element.
Yeah.
It's a big part.
And when you say negative spaces, you mean all of those things that are not programmed
exactly.
but are happening nonetheless.
That's exactly it. Even the places that you wouldn't think, people have set up chairs and they'll just sit and talk. You know, I was walking down the street because, you know, of course, I'm working the festival and I run into some of the OG musicians, as we call it, and they have their friends in from out of town who used to play in St. Louis 20 or 30 years ago, and they're all just congregating, and I'm just getting so much knowledge in that space. And you might walk over and it's younger artists and they're doing their thing. It's always something going on at every inch of the festival.
Mm-hmm. And Chris, as I was sort of clarifying what negative space means, mm-hmm. you mentioned earlier that there's a multi-layered approach to booking this festival. Can you describe what some of those layers are, especially the ones that maybe people would not think about immediately, but are just so much part of creating the texture of music at the intersection?
Yeah, sure. I think first is actively listening. And that started when this festival became a festival, right? This was a call to action from community and industry and artist. Then it's assembling a body of people that are a sounding board, right? That really understand the balance of, you know, our history, our legacy, where our music's going, and then, you know, who's hot right now locally. And then you gotta align dates, mm-hmm. you gotta align budgets, you gotta align a particular flow on each stage and a way the music kind of interweaves throughout the day. So it's just it's a very delicate balance that when you do it right, it's magic, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, and what's nice about this event is that you can only experience this in St. Louis. This is a event and a festival that really is us. Mm-hmm. And when you come here, if you're Gary Clark Jr. and he played, or Terrace Martin or Robert Glasper, they feel like they're part of something that isn't just about them. They're here being with us, celebrating our footprint on the American Songbook, the mm-hmm. culture that we have stewarded and birthed. And, you know, so it's really informed by communities. And, you know, we're the stewards of this right now. And we're just making sure that we keep our local artists, our local businesses, our local industry front and center in our decision making, because mm-hmm. that's what this is about. It's about building capacity for our local industry and music and entertainment and art. It's about building capacity for our local artists and putting them next to giants and showing the world that they're giants too.
Right, right. You mentioned active listening, Chris, and your ear or ears are always to the ground, Larry. Is there an example of how active listening over the last, you know, couple of years, few years, has translated into what people experience on stage?
Yeah. No, I think it's twofold. I mean, I think on one side of it, our leadership executive director, they've been on our music scene for years, activated multiple spaces in so many ways that community feels safe coming into our spaces and having conversations about what that looks like. You know, being intentional in the ask of who sits at the tables to have these discussions. You know, one of the things we were discussing one day in the phone conversation is, how do we secure our legacy genres, right? You know, how do we make mm-hmm. sure that as hip hop and new age music comes along, we're always remembering our blues and our jazz legacy, right? Mm-hmm. It's both and. It's not either or. So I think that's been a crucial piece of it. Mm-hmm. Also, I feel another big thing is that we've been so active in activating our spaces and our infrastructure, but also going into community, partnering with other individuals and activating their spaces. We're always in community. You mm-hmm. know, the last 3 weeks, 70% of my day is in community with artists and with community. And we take that information and we listen to that. We actively listen and we bring it back. And we do the best we can to meet people where we are, you know? And it's always a system we're working to perfect and whatnot, but it's always something we do. As the younger folks say, we're outside. We're there, you know? So it's very important to us.
Chris, the festival's now been around for a few years. Has that time put in made it easier to be regarded as a festival, you know, that has a good track record, or are you still building on that?
I think you're always, you know, you're only as good as your last show. Mm-hmm. You always got to build. But, you know, this is a festival that's gotten international and national acclaim. This is one of, Billboard magazine called it top 20 festivals in 2024, Essence magazine. You know, we've got international top 15 funk and soul festivals in the world. You know, this is something that the industry is paying attention to. That is something you can only experience in St. Louis because mm-hmm. it's rooted in us, and only we would curate something like this and program something like this. So yes, I mean, we're definitely seeing the benefit of that. We're seeing that attention come back and bring new press cohorts. I mean, the Grammys were there all of last year. They're going to be back this year. Vibe magazine was there. Essence magazine, Source magazine, on and on and on. So we got more and more national press coming to town. They're getting to know us more. Then they're coming back and you're seeing other stories. So these things, you know, they're part of public safety. They're part of civic pride. They're part of retaining and attracting our student base. They're part of workforce development. And when you do it right, and they're part of economic development. And when you do it right, the world pays attention. And I think we're doing it right. And it's something very choice and unique and boutique. And, you know, we're excited to keep doing it, but we got to keep showing and proving. And St. Louis has to show up and take ownership of things like this. If you want things like this in your town, you got to show up and participate and get involved.
Right.
And that's really key. And St. Louis sometimes needs to be reminded of that.
Mm-hmm. And as a reminder that this is music at the intersection we're talking about, there's another hometown musician who is coming to perform, and that is Chingy, who is a living legend in his own right. He's also a headliner for the festival this year. Now, a lot of our Gen X and millennial listeners probably remember how big he got in the odds, and he became one of the highest profile hip-hop stars to come out of STL. Let's give a listen to one of his most popular and so very St. Louis hits titled Right There from his debut album, Jackpot.
Like the way you do that right there, right there. Switch your hips when you walk and let down your hair, down your hair. I like the way you do that right there, right there. Lick your lips when you're talking, that make me stir, make me stir. I like the way you do that right there, right there. Switch your hips when you walk and let down your hair, down your hair. I like the way you do that right there, right there. Lick your lips when you're talking, that make me stir, make me stir. She be stopping at front neck, just look at her front and back. Man, she so sad and she know that I want that. Her man, he so whack. Girl, can I take show? Cat gave her 300 to strip, like buying the throwback. She stay in the club, like you'll be seen, she got it honest. In real life, girl, remind me of Pocahontas. She be at events, yeah. Stop the press when she pass, yeah. All the high rolling cats wanna pay for that. Ain't no half stepping, stepping, strapped with a nice weapon. It's against the law for her to move them hips. If you ever seen a dirty, your mouth gon' drop. Worldwide fools probably tell you this all time. I like the way you do that right there.
That was Chingy and his hit single, Right There, from his debut album, Jackpot, which was released back in 2003. So we've been seeing and hearing more of Chingy lately. He released an album recently, a new one, titled Chinglish. So given his place in hip-hop history and his St. Louis roots, what's it meant to work with Chingy today, especially as he's stepping back into the spotlight with new music, Larry?
No, it means a lot. And we think about that. I mean, I have my own personal bias because that was my coming of age time when Chingy, you know, became successful. But I think acknowledging and lifting him up is great because people don't realize at that period of time, St. Louis had a unique sound. Mm-hmm. We were at the forefront of hip hop. Our dances, the chicken head, the mono, all of that were a thing. Like, these artists really lifted us up in a very unique way that still stands the test of time. Like, these songs are still popular today. Mm-hmm. So to be able to bring Chingy home and celebrate him at our festival, it's no better feeling than that. And we think like that. We want to celebrate our artists because, as my executive director has already said, you know, these people have put their fingerprint on the footprint of music across the world. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see Chingy and go back to my senior year of high school.
Okay, we need to take a quick break here, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation about the 2024 Music at the Intersection, which happens in just about a month or so right here in St. Louis. So to get us back in, let's also hear some more from St. Louis. St. Louis is a music city, and another of our biggest stars is performing, Keon Harold. Let's hear a bit of his song, Beautiful Day, featuring PJ Morton off his 2024 album, Foreverland.
Look at the sun shining. Why don't you just let the sunlight in? I know you've been hurting, so just let the sunlight in. Just forget what they say. What do they know anyway? Today is a beautiful day. Life has been painful, so much work and against, but today is a beautiful day.
So, Keon Harold, is this his first time at Music of the Intersection? He's coming back?
Yeah, Keon's the only cat that's played the festival every year.
And why is that the case?
Well, Keon's got his finger on the intersection of where we've been and where we're going.
Mm.
And he just has found himself in an important role in St. Louis to bridge some gaps. And one, he sat on our programming committees, really informed our process in thinking about how we honor our jazz legacy and get us into the future. But this year, we wanted to really let him stretch out. And we designed an artist-in-residence program for 2 years around Keon to really be able to traverse the space a little differently and to think of the entire festival build process, marketing process, and then the whole festival week from Matty Places to the conference to the festival, and use that as his landscape to be creative, to collaborate, to network, to inform our process. I mean, he informs it from programming, he informs it from Artist Village and how, you know, artist hospitality looks. So it's just been really important to always just have someone with us and kind of holding us accountable, helping us understand how to bridge those gaps, and then giving an artist a platform that is just magnetic as Keon. I mean, he's got this beautiful light, and he attracts this particular creative community around him.
Mm-hmm.
And that community's been a big part of how this festival looks and feels to the world. And Keon keeps his finger on that and keeps them connected to us. And so it's been real cool to work with Keon real close. And this year you're going to see him traversing multiple stages. He's a collaborator already with acts like Sima Funk and the Black Pumas and Trombone Shorty. And he's got some surprises up his sleeve. You're going to see Keon all week long, all over the place, doing really cool stuff.
It sounds like he may need some rest after.
Yeah.
So speaking of Black Pumas, Music at the Intersection's also been very much about booking acts whose music presents, well, you know, an intersection of genres and vibes. Let's listen to another of the headliners this year, Black Pumas, and their song, Fire. That's Fire from Black Pumas. So in the setup to this song, I had said something about a vibe. And music festivals in different places, you know, they have their own sort of signature vibe. What is it that Black Pumas is bringing to Music at the Intersection this year, Larry?
I think it brings that soul funk element. You know, I think music in any trend goes in cycles, you know, and right now Black Pumas is at the forefront of it. There's just a live energy that they have that I feel is unmatched. And St. Louis, we love live music, you know, and so when you get on the stage, you got to come in hot. You got to be ready to go. And they just bring that soul funk energy to our stages in a raw sort of way, you know, and even for those that are not familiar with them, because when they come to our city, they always do well. Mm-hmm. But for those that are experiencing, if this is a festival you're just coming to experience something new, you're going to love that energy. It's going to be infectious. So mm-hmm. You can't have a festival like this and not have a group like the Black Plains.
Right, right. So we talked a little bit earlier, Chris, about Nukeon Herald being a consistent presence and one that's different each year. Something else that will be returning is the conference portion. So before all these artists hit any of the stages, there are two free opportunities to participate and in Music at the Intersection. And returning for a third year is the conference. Chris, what is the conference about and who is it for?
Sure. You know, this, again, one of the call to actions was more professional development opportunities for creatives and industry. And this conference, in collaboration with many great organizations, we've built around kind of the intersection of music, art, thought, and innovation. So these are thought leaders that are tackling a number of different subject matter, and it really is just an opportunity for creative professionals, artists, you know, people that work within the art and entertainment music industry to come down to hear from these great thought leaders, to network and collaborate. And we make sure it's free every year because we mm-hmm. want to make sure there's no barrier to get involved in this festival. You can go on Thursday, you know, grassroots organizations all throughout Midtown. You can go on Friday and have a free experience all day. Go to a kickoff concert on Friday night at the Big Top and experience, you know, great dance music and young artists for a younger audience. So there's just a way to get involved, and we want to make sure we're knocking down those barriers every year so people see themselves there.
Mm-hmm. New to the weekend's festivities is something called Mati Places, mm-hmm. M-A-T-I. Mm-hmm. There are various businesses in and around Grand Center participating. Mm-hmm. What is Mati Places, Larry?
Yeah, so the beautiful thing about being in the Grand Center Arts District is that our community members love the festival, and they wanted an opportunity to actually participate in the festival. And as we say, you know, we give space and permission and we get out of the way. So what's really cool is that I got a chance to talk with Keisha from Hey Days, and we were already kind of floating this, but she was like, I would love to do something around the festival.
Okay.
So it kind of was a domino effect. You know, mm-hmm. we had Hidden Gems. They're like, we would love to do something. We ended up talking with Work and Leisure. And the whole concept of Mati Places is we're allowing them to activate their space with music, panels, conversations around the arts, you know, happy hours. We even have some pop-up tattoos that'll be taking place on our on our rooftop. And it just gives our community that are around us a chance to not only engage with the music lovers and the people that are in this community, but it gives them an opportunity to have people come into their businesses and engage with them as well. Mm-hmm. It's free. 99% of it is free. And, you know, it's one of those things that on a Thursday, I've been telling people, take your comp days, come down and engage with the community. So it's going to be really neat.
Okay. My executive producer, I hope you've heard that, the comp day on Thursday. So you have a very special keynote conversation, which will be St. Louis's own Big Boss Vet, who's known for her hit Pretty Girls Walk. And by the way, we want to mention that our very own producer, Maya Norfleet, is moderating the onstage conversation with Big Boss Vet. So very quickly, 10, 15 seconds from each of you, as musicians, Chris, you're a musician yourself, how is it beneficial to hear from other artists? Chris?
I mean, you learn everything when you listen, and to hear how somebody's put together their career and their creativity and how they've learned to own the economy around their art, it's not something that's obvious. It's one of the hardest things for artists to do is to take that creativity and transcend it into a living. Mm-hmm. So to be able to think about, hey, I grew up here, I know you, you're no different than me, and look what I did to get from here to here. It's really inspiring to young artists to be able to hear from someone they relate to and that's from the same place they mm-hmm. are.
And very quickly, Larry?
Yes, any information from somebody that's doing what you want to do is valuable information, you know, especially when you can get around it at no cost, it's free, and they're willing to give it to you. So, you know, I would just encourage anybody who has the opportunity to participate because you're going to get something from the conference and from Big Boss Vet, mm-hmm. for sure.
We'll be right back.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.